disappointed when you heard that I was preaching, but that's all right.
But I'm here because the Lord's here. We're thankful for that this morning. We're thankful, Brother Joe, having enough confidence in us to, though we have many faults and failures, I'm glad that God looks through our faults and our failures and sees the blood of Calvary that covers a multitude of sins. We're thankful for that this morning. I'm just a sinner saved by grace. I'm nothing special. Let me say this to you. You're nothing special this morning. Let's by the grace of God this morning. By the wonderful grace that saved us this morning. And we're thankful for that. I kind of struggled with where to go this morning, but I ask that you turn to your Bibles to, you just pray for us this morning to the book of Nehemiah, the first chapter of the book. Now I don't have time to preach the whole, when we preach or teach from Nehemiah, it's hard to find a place where you can just stop and just cut it off because it kind of goes all together. But I want to point out some things here in chapter 1. The concern Nehemiah had for the people of God. And I believe we need to have a concern for the people of God.
Amen.
I mean, I know we ought to have concern that are lost, and I realize that. But if we've lost our concern for our holy life that we should live, we're in trouble this morning.
Yeah.
And so you pray for us this morning. You stand with us. We'll just read a few verses this morning. And we'll get into the message. We'll just read maybe... Well, I just said we'll just read the whole chapter of chapter 1 just to kind of tie it together. I know that's 11 verses, but surely we can stand for 11 verses and respect God's Word this morning. And the words of Nehemiah, the son of Hakaliah, and it came to pass in the month of Chislu in the 20th year, and it was in Shushan, the palace, the Hanani, one of my brethren, came, he and certain men of Judah, and I asked them concerning the Jews that had escaped, which were left of the captivity concerning Jerusalem. And they said unto me, the remnant that are left of the captivity that are in province are in great affliction and reproach. The wall of Jerusalem also is broken down, and the gates thereof are burned with fire. Now, I want you to notice now how the attitude or how Nehemiah's position changes here. And it came to pass when I heard these words, that I sat down and wept and mourned certain days and fasted and prayed before God of heaven. And I said, beseech thee, O Lord of God of heaven, the great and terrible God that keepeth covenant and mercy for them that love him and observe his commandments. Let thine ear, verse 6, let thine ear be attentive and thine eyes open that thou mayest hear the prayer of thy servant, which I pray before thee now day and night, for the children of Israel, thy servants, and confess the sins of the children of Israel, which we have sinned against thee. Both I and my father's house have sinned. We have dealt very corruptly against thee, and have not kept the commandments, nor the statutes, nor the judgments which thou commandest thy servant Moses. Remember, I beseech thee, the word that thou commandest thy servant Moses, saying, if you transgress, I will scatter you abroad among the nations. But if you turn unto me and keep my commandments and do them, thou were of you cast out the uttermost part of the heaven, and I will gather them from thence, and will bring them unto the place that I have chosen to set my name there. Now these are thy servants and thy people whom thou hast redeemed by the great power and by thy strong hand. O Lord, I beseech you that thy ear be attentive to the prayer of thy servant and to the prayer of thy servants who desire to fear thy name and prosper, I pray thee, thy servant this day, and grant him mercy in the sight of this man, for I was the king's cupbearer. You can be seated. I know that's lengthy reading. I know that's probably I could preach a broad spectrum from this chapter this morning. But I want to focus upon the news that Nehemiah got and his reaction to the news that Nehemiah got about his people. Now, just to set the stage just for a moment, we find that Nehemiah had never seen, Brother Joe, this was just kind of his people. He'd never, those folks were in captivity, Babylonian captivity, Brother Joe, he'd never really been there and seen that. But he realized the people from his generations before had been in captivity, and he had not forgotten about what he had learned maybe from them, Brother Joe. He was still thinking about what their condition was. And so God said, I'm saying when you get in trouble, when you get into a place, you get your mind on the Lord, God will send a word to you by a brother. He'll send something. He'll send somebody by your way to let you know what's going on. And so here we go, and we're in this place. And he said, would you just let me know how he was concerned about, he wasn't concerned about maybe what he could gain from this, but he was concerned about the people and what their condition was. So he said, would you tell me would you say to me the remnant are left? He said, in verse 2, he escaped and were left on the captivity concerning Jerusalem. And they said unto me, the remnant that are left of captivity, they're in province or in great affliction and reproach. I will say this to you this morning, that God will always have a remnant until Christ comes, brother Joe. They always see a remnant of God's people. Those folks were in bondage. Those folks were in captivity. They didn't have their own right. They didn't have their own will. But God still had some people there. He still had a remnant there that still loved him and still had their mind upon him. Though they were in reproach and in captivity, they still had a mind to serve him. And Nehemiah said, would you just tell me about what they're facing? And so Nehemiah got concerned about God's people, Brother Ed. He got concerned about their condition. I don't say this to you this morning. I want to try to bring this message out to you so it can help you. And I talked to Brother Mike. I had to work again Wednesday night. It just seems like y'all think I'm skipping church, but I promise you this. I had my church clothes on, and the phone rung. I went to church Wednesday. I was coming to church Wednesday night. I had to go to work. And so I thought I'd just call my Brother Mike. I called Brother Mike and check on him. And so we end up talking. I don't know how long we talked, Brother Mike. I don't really know, about maybe an hour and a half or so on the phone. But I was just, it ain't nothing on me, but I had you on my mind. I was concerned about what you might be facing. And I'm saying Nehemiah here in this same place, he was concerned about the people. He was concerned about this folks, what they're going through. He was concerned about the people of God. And so if we've lost our concern, we should never lose our concern about the lost. We should never lose our concern, folks, about folks going to hell. I say this, we're not losing concern about our brothers and sisters in Christ with us. We need to hold each other up. I know Brother Joe would preach this one if he could. I'd probably rather hear him anyway. But he just can't physically. He can't. I said, we ought to have each other. When somebody can't teach, somebody should be willing to do that. When somebody needs prayer, we should pray for one another. But Nehemiah was concerned about God's people.
Amen.
Verse 4, now let me say this. Now Nehemiah, in his heart and mind, Brother Mike, that was bad news to Nehemiah. He heard what he didn't want to hear.
Right.
And I will ask you this morning to raise your hand, but there's a lot of us in here that's got some bad news that we didn't expect we was going to hear.
Yeah. Right.
And I'm talking about, we've got some news in our lives sometimes, brother, that just shook us to the core.
Right.
That we didn't know what it was going to do. We didn't know how it was going to face it. It shook us, and I'm sure in this place, Nehemiah, brother, he got some news that just shook him to his very core. It brought him wherever, it brought him to his knees. It's exactly where it brought Nehemiah to. And if we're not careful, if we're not careful when we hear, and you may not, you say, well, I've lived a good life, and I've been healthy. I'm saying this, when we hear bad news about other people, we're bad about saying, well, just let God handle it, that'll be all right. Be able to shake us to our core. We hear something about our brother and sister in Christ, and they receive bad news of a cancer or sickness or death. It'll shake us to our core and bring us to our knees about the people of God.
Amen.
It ought to shake us. Now, I'll say this to you, and it'll cost you an extra, but when it's bad news to us, it shakes us. When it comes to our doorstep, it shakes us. It brings us down to our knee.
Right.
When it's about us.
Come on,
let me say this, when it's about others, we just let it go. We just let it go.
Right.
Nehemiah, he was just concerned about God's. He knew that, he realized those folks were God's chosen people. He realized those folks had some promises, had some covenants, had some things that was promised to them.
Oh.
And Nehemiah was concerned about them. I'll say this, when your pastor's struggling, we know he's faithful to us. When we hear bad news, and I know when Miss Moore passed away, I know folks prayed for Brother Joe. And when my mom passed away, I know folks prayed for me. I'm saying, and I know that's death. Sometimes we face things daily. And sometimes as folks in the church, we face things daily. We face things that nobody else knows about. And maybe someone has some confidence in you. And when they have confidence in you to talk to you about it, they don't mean to tell everybody under the sun. That means when they take time to talk to you about it, that ought to shake us into a place of prayer for one another. Amen. But Nehemiah was shook from the news. I'll never forget the day that they called. Mama called me. She said, Brian, I went to the doctor. This was May of 2009. She called me. She said, Brian, I've been to the doctor. And the doctor said, I got cancer. Now, Roger, that shook me. Why? Because that's my mom. That was my family. It shook me. Reverend Mike, when you call me about a situation, it ought to shake me just the same. It ought to shake me in the same way, Brother Joe, that if you have a situation you want me to pray about, it ought to shake me down to where I'm willing to pray for Brother Mike and what he's going through. But I got, Brother Ed, the only thing I need to do, and I know other times I've been, that place sticks out in my mind. That God, the first thing I did, I didn't call nobody. I didn't put it on Facebook. I didn't put it on social media. I just, Brother Mike, I just found me a spot somewhere and I just got down on my knees and asked God that you'll have to take care of it. Brother Perry, when we get that news, we'll have to get in our. But I'm saying daily, sometimes daily, we just kind of let folks' the situation just slip by. We let folks things that we're just not as concerned as we should be about the people of God. We're all going to face things. The Bible said it rains on the just and unjust. I mean, sometimes bad things happen to good people. We don't understand why. We question God. I know we all have, but sometimes things come we can't explain. But I say all the time we should pray one for another. This ain't nothing new to you this morning. I'm not trying. I wish I could run out. I wish I could jump pews and shout and do cartwheels. But this ain't what God said this morning. He said the walls of Jerusalem was broken down and the gates thereof are burned with fire. Let me say this. When you get in that place and these folks are facing destruction, Brother Fred, there were some walls broke down. I'm saying and sing that song sometimes there is some walls in our life that we need. Brother Joe, we need a wall of prayer surrounding God's people. When we're going through that, that means when that wall is in, that means the enemy can come and run in to and fro anywhere they can go. I'm saying if we don't have a wall of prayer in our life, a wall of prayer in our church, a wall of prayer in our pastor, or leaders of the church, so we're in trouble if we don't have that this morning. But Nehemiah said, He said, I beseech thee, O Lord God of heaven, thou great and terrible God, that keepeth covenant and mercy for them that love him and observe his commandments. He said, let thine ear be attentive and thy eyes open, that thou mayest hear the prayer of thy servant, which I pray before thee now, day and night. He said, both I have sinned. I say this, but if we're going to get prayer, so we'll have to pray. We have to get rid of the sin in our life before we can pray for somebody else. Don't be this one. We'll have to get the things out of our life. And I told the story to Brother Mike the other night, and I'm sure my Aunt Jo, I don't know how long ago, it's been a long time. And she called and said that she wanted some folks to pray for her because she's going to have a liver transplant. It was me and Brother Joe and Brother Doyle. I made Brother Clarence and Brother Cody Hess, I think, was the five that was there that night. Faithway over there across the Honda shop. And we got in there. I won't ever forget what Brother Dole said. Yeah. Now, Brother Dole preaches, he runs and shouts and jumps. But that night, he was kind of calm, really, to be honest with you. And Brother Dole, he said, boys, let me tell y'all this. We need to pray and get things out of our lives because what's in our life and what's in our life, don't let it hinder what God's trying to do in her life. What's in your life in the way, make sure you can get it out, and make sure make sure the sin in our life is good before we can pray for this sister.
Right.
Well, that stuck in my heart, stuck in my mind. And after about praying for about an hour and a half, after we got through praying about an hour and a half for the night, we was able to pray for her. We miss the fact that we just say a quick prayer for somebody. I'm saying when we can get our place into the position of prayer. Now I know this is the position of prayer, but sometimes we're in the right physical position, but we're not in the right spiritual position in the heart to reach heaven. We're in the right physical position, but we're not in the right spiritual position to reach glory. Amen. And we prayed and we prayed and we prayed and we prayed, and finally I feel like God had removed some things from my life, Brother Joe. He took some burdens, took some weight away from me, and I could pray for that one that was in need.
Right.
I talked to Brother Mike about this. Folks come sick to be anointed with oil. We better be careful about that. Brother Joe, I've seen in our life that the folks that come and pray for one another, we better be careful about that, because we may be the hindering spirit that's keeping that one from being healed. I know it takes faith, but Brother Joe, I'll tell you this, we can hinder what God's trying to do. We can. And I know that ain't popular preaching. And if I preach this somewhere in another church, they wouldn't ask me to come back probably. But I'm a member here, so y'all have to kick me out if y'all don't like that. He said, both I and my father's house have sinned. We have dealt very corruptly against thee, and have not kept the commandments, nor the statutes, nor judgments, which thou commandest thy servant Moses. What Nehemiah said is, Lord, we've just failed you. Lord, not only have we failed you, but Lord, we forgot you. Lord, we have sinned against you. We've just lived our own way. We're just doing whatever we want to do. And we forgot about that year, that we forgot about your statute, and all of that. We forgot about your judgments. We forgot about you altogether. I say this, now that sounds like the nation that we live in now. Boy, I say to the mic, it sounds like the church that we live in. It sounds like the church days. It sounds like the church that we live in. Now I'm not talking about Pathway in general. I mean specifically, I'm just saying, you go to some churches, they have having a program, just doing the same old thing. I'm glad that we are at a place where the Spirit of God does come every once in a while. He does show up, and when he does show up, folks realize that, and they don't have to look at some paper to see if they can raise their hand. They don't have to look at some program to see what song's going to be sung. I know when God comes on the scene, we still know who God is. Amen. If God comes by, you'll know what to do, amen. If God's leading you to do something, I'm getting off, that's all right. If God comes by, you'll know who it is. And when God comes by, if you're close and you know him, you'll know where to raise your hand. You'll know who to pray for. You'll know where to sing it. You'll know where to shout. If it's him, you'll know it's him, amen. But I could preach on Nehemiah, and I preached on Nehemiah several times. But Joe, Nehemiah was concerned about the remnant of God. He was concerned about God's people. And we find out, and I could preach on Nehemiah I enjoy the book of Nehemiah. But you read on, and I promise I'm almost done. I just want to come by and tell you today that we'll pray for one another. We'll be concerned about the needs of each other. Now, I've grown to talk to Brother Mike probably more here in the last, I don't know, year or so. When I got close to Mike, when we went to Melissa's house this time last year, it was about 2 degrees. We was out there building the stair rails on her porch. That's when I know Brother Mike loved me. It was cold that day. I'm talking about it was cold. But we grew, from that day I realized that Brother Mike loved me. And it was cold. We had a good time though. But I'm saying, I just looked at Brother Mike as just somebody that I just care about.
Yeah.
And we talk on the phone, maybe not all the time. When we talk a long time. I'm sure Linda was like, man, I wish I'd hang up. But I was watching the ball game. I paused the ball game, and I talked to Brother Mike. Well, Well, I said, we ought to be concerned about one another. But brother, but Nehemiah, he was, let me say this, that last part he said, I was the king's cupbearer. But y'all, he was in the palace. He was in Nehemiah had it made, really. He was living a life of luxury. He the only thing he had to take care of when the king wanted something to drink, Brother Joe, he had to take it down there to him. He had to make sure the vessels was ready, the gold, whatever they drunk out of, the finest things he could have. And he saw the luxuries of life, and Nehemiah was just, hey, I'm just kicked back. But when he heard that news, he said, I'm willing to give this all up. Not for Nehemiah's sake, but for his people's sake. For the sake of the brethren. He said, I'm kicked back while I'm living it up, and the king's drinking the finest wine. I just make sure that the king is ready, make sure everything's prepared. I'm living here in the palace. I'm good. I promise I'm settled. I'm satisfied. Don't worry about nobody else. But when he heard the news of God's people, it shook Nehemiah to the core.
Oh, yeah.
How many of us are living that way? I'm fine. I got mine.
I'm
good. I'll be okay. If we're not careful, we'll get that way. In God's house, we'll get that way. We'll just be concerned about us. I said, if we're not careful, we'll come into a routine saying we try to make this thing about us. But when it comes on into it, if I get something about us, it's all about Him.
Amen.
So Nehemiah preferred to he went to the king, which was, Brother Joe, in custom or by law. It was kind of a sentence of death to go into the king with a sad countenance. And the king said, you're sad. He said, oh. And just kind of make it short, and you read on in chapter 2, not only the king noticed his countenance, but the king made a way that and gave him everything he needed, and he blessed the wood to go by, he blessed the laws to go send it over there. He gave him everything he needed to do God's work and do God's job. That's what I'm saying. When we get a burden for God's people, God will make a way for you to do that.
Oh, yeah.
When we get a burden for God's people, we get a burden, Brother Joe, for the church of God to grow, for his people to grow, his house to grow, and to grow in the word and spirit and truth. God will make a way for that.
Right.
And he left the palace and he went to work. Well, how are we going to build each other up? I say, Brother Joe, it takes a little bit of work. And Nehemiah, you read over there, and they got to building the gates, and they got to building the wall back, and got to build those, I think there's 12 gates, if I ain't mistaken. But they got to build, and Nehemiah made this statement. He said, these people had a mind to work. They had a mind, Brother Ed, to work. Not work against each other, but to work together. And I said this Sunday night, and that's all right, but I enjoy this youth choir that Krista and Andre started over there. They had a heart to do it. It's on their heart to do it. Now last Sunday, and I thought, hey, this ain't really gonna be no good. But I said, what they had a mind to work together. When my boys ain't arguing, God's in it. I promise you that. When they're not arguing, they up there and they work the same together, then God's in it. But I was Nehemiah. They got to working together, and he had a heart for God to build the walls back and build the gates back and build the city back so the enemy couldn't come. And lo and behold, the work starts going, and guess who shows up on the scene? Sanballat and Tobiah. Which is, if you look at their names up, it basically means Satan. So let me say this. When we're gonna work for God and work together for God, we just expect the enemy to show up. Just expect him to show up and discourage and to hinder and to hurt and to do whatever he can to hinder what God's trying to do. So when God's working, the devil will be working too, but it's up to us to be ready.
Amen.
I just come to tell you today, it's still okay to pray. The school system might discourage it, and the government might discourage it, and the state might discourage it, and all that. But I'm saying this: if you're saved by the grace of God, it's still okay to pray about situations. My mom used to tell me, I mean, she just tell you like it was. And that's just how she was. I was going to buy a car, and she said, "Did you pray about it?" I was going to buy a house, and she said, "Did you pray about it?" I was going to change jobs, and she said, "Did you pray about it?" And I'm thankful, Brother Joe, I've had some parents that raised me to the place to go to God for guidance and help, and to go to Him. And I'm saying, we ought to go to Him. We ought to go to Him with all our needs. Everything that we face, we ought to go to Him. Now, if you start praying for a new car, now I'm just saying, we ought to pray for Him about the decision that we need to make in our life. God was telling me to leave Centennial up there. And then folks, I promise, that's some of my family got mad at me. You ought to stay. I said, I'm praying about it. And God said it's time to go. I have to do what God says to do. It don't matter what the family says, what this one says, what that one says. If God's leading you to do something, you ought to do what God says to do. And God was leading Nehemiah to bring on the people to work and build the walls back. And they did the work, and Satan and the enemy showed up, but they still kept working. The Bible said they was working with this hand and were fighting off with the sword. They didn't put the sword down. They kept the sword in their hand and kept working. It goes hand in hand. If we're going to work for God, we got to have the sword in our hand. Amen. But Nehemiah had a heart to see God's people back where they was before. He had a heart that the enemy might be defeated. And I say to you this morning, you might be defeated in your life this morning. But I tell you what, God ain't done with you. You might be to where you've been defeated, and you've been knocked down, and you've been knocked out. I know how many of you watch boxing.
Yep.
And I almost ordered that fight. I almost ordered it. Just got real close. But I looked at the price and I changed my mind real quick. I said, I just watched the highlights.
Yeah.
And so I got to watching it, and this boy was from, this wilder guy, he was from Tuscaloosa, so I guess I was kind of for him. And this wilder guy, he was kind of the underdog, so I guess in a way I was kind of for him. So whoever won, I was okay with.
Yeah.
But they showed that Fury guy, the last time they fought, that he got knocked down.
Yeah.
And so he decided he's going to go back. He's going to lose some weight, Bro Joe. He's going to train. He's going to come back better and stronger. And so, Bro Joe, he came back and he defeated that opposition that had defeated him before. And so sometimes we do, and he made this statement. He said, it doesn't matter how many times, and my dad used to say this, it doesn't matter how many times that you get knocked down. It does matter that you do get back up. Because if you lay in there, then you're defeated. But he made a decision to get up from Mike and go to work and train and get prepared for that opponent that he's going to have to face. And Brother Joe, he said he studied the opponent. And he studied the tactics, and he studied the way that he punched, the way that he moved, and the way that he'd do. He studied all those things. It'd do us good that we learn the devil's tactics. But it'd do us good to learn what he comes at us. It'd do us good, Brother Mike, to learn what he throws at us to make us fall. I just come to say to you, church, that Nehemiah had, he loved God's people. He wanted to see of movement. He wanted to see a work done. And I believe all my heart, Joel, in this place now, God wants to do a work in your life. God wants to do a work in this place as a local body of His body. He wants to do a work in this place. But we have to work together. We have to work together. We have to be together. We have to be in unity. I don't know what you might be facing. Let's just bow our heads. That's all I've got this morning. Let's bow our heads. We'll pray.